Me, if you would please, to the book of Malachi, the last book in your Old Testament. We will get back into James, Lord willing, next week. But I'd like to go to Malachi this morning. If you'd stand when we find the text, stretch your legs, and I'm going to do my very best to have you out of here by noon. But I do have a message here this morning. I was reading through my Bible this week in my own personal devotions, and something jumped out at me here that sort of goes along the lines of what I preached to you on Wednesday night, the first message of the year. And I just see the Lord kind of reinforcing something in my own heart and in my own mind, and I want to bring that to you this morning. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 2, verse number 1, "And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you." So he's talking to the religious leaders of Israel. He says, "If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I'll corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. And one shall take you away with it. Ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way, ye have caused many to stumble at the law, ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously, every man against his brother, by profaning the covenant of our fathers?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask Him to bless the preaching of the Word of God. Father, I love You this morning. I thank You so much for enabling us to be here. I was concerned this weekend because of the weather forecast that we weren't even going to be able to have church this morning. And Lord, I thank You for the people that came out anyways in spite of the possibly bad roads. Now, God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that it would not be a waste of their time. If all we do is have church, it's going to be a waste of time. But, Lord, if You'll show up and speak to our hearts, God, if You'll fill me with Your Holy Spirit and use me to help somebody this morning, to preach the Word of God straight and true, to preach it to the hearts of men. God, if You'll get a hold of our hearts, then it'll have been good to have been here. It'll have been worth the drive, worth the time. We need to hear from You this morning. God, we beg You to speak. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now here, when we come to the very last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, this man is prophesying to the restored remnant of Israel. Interestingly enough, this book ends, the Old Testament ends, the very last word in the Old Testament, it ends with a curse. He says, "He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Your Old Testament, that Old Testament law, it ends with a curse. God's people have wandered away from the Lord, and Malachi is preaching particularly to Israel regarding the apostasy of the priests. He's saying, listen, the religious leaders in Israel have gone away from God. They began to use the ministry as a career. They began to use the ministry for money. They began to twist the Word of God and to give people the messages that people want so that they can kind of ensure their own job security. And Malachi is a true prophet of God, and he's coming there, he's calling out all of his contemporaries. He's calling out all the other priests and saying, listen, God has a message for you, boy, and God ain't happy with the way you're conducting yourself before God's people. And as a result of the apostasy among the religious leaders, the people in Israel had begun then to make excuses for their own sin because they looked at the preachers. And they said, see how the priests are living? The priest said it's okay. And instead of the individuals in Israel seeking God themselves and saying, Lord, who are you? Lord, what do you want from me? They were just pointing to their leaders and saying, look at their messed up. Look at their sin. Look at the excuses they make. So I must be okay. I can live however I want. Kind of like United States of America is today, and specifically Christianity within America. Everybody loves to talk about the preachers and their wickedness, and boy, it's a bad thing. Everybody loves to talk about all them TV evangelists that get caught in trouble, and it's a wicked thing. But what you find is that God gives people preachers that they want. If a wicked nation won't listen to God, then those wicked preachers rise up because the people promote them. The people pay for it. The people send their money in. The people fund their ministry because it's like, hey, make me feel spiritual. Make me feel good. Don't make me feel convicted. Tell me what I want to hear and just let me go my way. I feel like everything's cool with me and God because you're God's mouthpiece. You're the preacher. What you got is a completely messed up society where people nowadays don't even know the truth. Christians, they might know Jesus Christ, but they don't know their Bibles. They don't understand how to rightly divide that book. They don't believe that book. They've actually gone so far as to lose faith in the Word of God and to be very unfounded in their Bibles because of the apostasy of a nation. What the scary thing is that the blessing of God that came to Israel because they sought the Lord is now being taken away by the Lord that gave it. What I want to preach to you on this morning is losing the blessing. God has been good to BBC. Amen. It has been amazing to me to see what God has done over the last 12 years. It blows my mind to watch God work. Listen, the fact that you actually even come here and come back every week after you hear me preach. I mean, a lot of you sitting here this morning, I mean more than one, said the first time you came, you were like, yeah, no, that's a little much for me. That guy's nuts. And the Holy Spirit of God triggers something in your heart because you heard the Bible preached and you come back. And after a little while, it's like, well, I love it now. You know what you're sitting in this morning is a miracle. God's been good, and I am so stirred up and fired up and excited. I mean, I've been waking up in the middle of the night, getting out of bed. I'm so excited about what God's doing. I was so exhausted last Sunday. We were working out here till one morning, but it was Friday, 2:30 in the morning. Back here Saturday, we left at 10:15. Thursday, I think it was, you guys stayed till like 10:30 or 11 or midnight or something. We were exhausted, man. And then I entertained all weekend and then had a great Sunday, and I figured, man, tonight I'm going to crash. I laid down at 9 o'clock on Sunday night. I fell straight to sleep just as quick as I possibly could. I woke up wide awake at 3:30 in the morning, so wide awake, I'm like, you know what, this ain't happening. I just got out of bed, got my Bible, got with the Lord, because I was so excited about this church. I was so excited about what God's doing. I'm so excited about being a part of the blessings that God has put on us. We are just getting going. I mean, there's so far to go, church. There's so much to do. God is moving. Connections are being made. People we prayed for years are finally showing up. Hey, God is good, and the blessing of God is on this place. Mark and Carrie are going to be joining soon, not to embarrass you guys. Tom, how long do we pray for Mark? Years. 8 years? And I told you a long time ago, I said, sooner or later, he's going to be here. God wants him in this church. He told me yesterday, he said, God's called me to that church. And I told him, I know. Man, that's exciting to see God moving. Man, it's a blessing to see the way God's worked over the years and the way people are just coming and God's leading them here. And they're saying, hey, we're coming for the preaching. We want the Bible preached to us. Hey, this is an amazing thing that God is doing. I am so excited about getting this addition on. You say, what after that, preacher? We're getting the parking lot done. Then what? Then we'll put on a sanctuary. I can't wait to see what God's going to do, but stop. You and I can't tell the future. There is no guarantee that the blessing of God we have today is going to be here tomorrow. That scares me. Because God had great things in store for Israel. God had some things for them that He wanted done. Look at verse number 2. He says, if ye will not hear and if ye will not lay it to your heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord, I will even send a curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already because ye do not lay it to heart. You know what God's saying? I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They're thoughts of peace. I want to bless you. I want to use you. But stop. That blessing that I've put on you, I can take away. You got a good family? You got a halfway decent marriage? No marriage is perfect. Got decent kids? There's no guarantee 5 and 10 years from now that marriage is still going to be together. There's no guarantee 10, 15, 20 years from now your kids who may be doing right today are still going to be serving God. And just because you may have a mess in some of those areas, that doesn't mean God can't bless it later. So you know what I want to make sure? I want to make sure that I'm not the one provoking God's anger and getting God's blessing to leave this church. I don't want to provoke God's anger and have God's blessing leave my home. You live in a day and age where it's preached to you that God's all one side. God's all love, 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 and that's all there is to God and there's nothing else. That is an imbalanced and unbiblical view of God. Let me tell you this morning, God does love you. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen, church, God loves you more than you are capable of comprehending. I cannot wrap my mind around loving my enemies so much that I would give one of my children for them, let alone even my friend. I couldn't do it for my friend, let alone my enemy. And God did just that. His love is beyond our understanding. I'm not trying to downplay the love of God. But I will tell you, God is not imbalanced. And part of His love is His discipline. As a good father, if I love my children, I will make sure that when they make missteps, when they mess up, when they disobey, they suffer the repercussions for that. Why? Because I want them to learn to make right decisions. I want them to know now that, hey, if I go down that road, I'm going to pay for it. So as an adult, they won't go down some of those roads. They'll understand that there are repercussions for their actions. It is not my hatred that brings proper judgment. It is my love. And God loves you enough, and God loves this church enough to pull His blessing off of it if we get going the wrong direction and allow some things to come in the way of our walk with Jesus Christ. And God points these things out in this text this morning. Notice, by way of wrapping up the introduction, He says, if ye will not hear and if ye will not lay it to heart. So what's the root of the problem? The root of the problem is the people quit listening, the priests quit listening to what God said. Their hearts quit taking the Word of God deadly serious. They quit soaking it up into their soul. Their hearts were no longer desperately wanting the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, regardless of the response, regardless of the repercussions. They didn't want the truth of what God said anymore, and as a result of a heart that no longer wanted the truth, that ears couldn't hear. When people walk into church, oh, I just don't think that wasn't for me. You know what typically the problem is? It's not the style. It's not, I don't like his personality. The problem is, I didn't like the message. Something about that thing rubbed me the wrong way. And since my heart doesn't want truth, my ears couldn't receive what was being said. And that right there is the first step down the road of apostasy. It is allowing our hearts to grow cold towards Bible preaching. Allowing our hearts to grow cold towards the Word of God. Allowing our hearts to not take it that seriously anymore. It's like, well, I've heard that before. Well, I know all that stuff. Listen, what you got in your lap this morning is the very words of Almighty God. If I did not believe that, I would quit. I would get done this morning, say, listen, Cut off the automatic deposit or whatever that thing is you send me every week. Stop that thing. We'll be all right. I'll go sell drugs or something to support my family, but I'm no longer going to be a crook in the name of God. I don't believe the Bible anymore. I'm not going to stand up and preach in His name if He didn't give me something to say. That book in your lap is the most important thing you have in this world because it is God's words to your heart. We no longer care about our Bibles or want to read our Bibles or want to know what God has to say about us. That is the first step toward losing the blessing of Almighty God. I refuse to turn this church into a business. And it's easy to do. I know enough about sales, and I can fake and put on a little salesman thing just enough to where we can figure out, we can send out all the little questionnaires to Lyon Township, and what are you looking for in a church? This literally happens. What are you looking for? And tell us your age, and check out the demographics, and bring in the right music, and have the right talent, and do all the things we need to do to sell Jesus. But listen, even if we grew, even if we got rich, God's blessing is gone. And I refuse to live my life that way. It starts with having a heart for that book in your lap. And when the priests, the preachers, fell out of love with their Bible, they fell out of love with the words of God, then the people followed suit. One of my jobs is to get up here, to soak myself. I was telling somebody this week, soak myself all week in that passage and allow God to speak to me and allow that thing to perk and marinate in my soul. And then I'm to get up here on Sunday and I'm to overflow with what God Almighty is doing in my heart so that it can get a hold of your heart and stir you up a little bit and wake you up a little bit and shock you out of your slumber and get your heart burning for what God has to say to you, because God Almighty still speaks. If I didn't believe that, I'd quit. Now, there's some things in this passage that I noticed that go with heading into apostasy. Some things you and I need to watch out for so that we don't lose the blessing of God. And if you don't have the blessing of God, maybe the Lord will show you some things in here about you that you can go, oh yeah, that's me. Lord, I'm going to get that right because I want your blessing in my life. First thing is you got to watch your spirit. Look down at verse number 15. It says this. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 14. It says, yet ye say, wherefore? So what's going on? Why is God upset? Wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. And she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. Wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, watch it, take heed to your spirit. That ye not let, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. You know what he said right there? Hey, Israel, God's people, you know what he's saying this morning? Hey, church, take heed to your spirit. Because here Israel is, they're coming to their solemn feasts and they're crying and they're calling out to God, and God's like, I ain't listening to you. Well, why? What did I do? I'm clean cut and I live right and I'm faithful and I do all the things I'm supposed to do and I go to church and I carry my Bible and I say my prayers and we don't even eat before we pray. Everything's right. I'm doing everything the right way. God says, I ain't hearing nothing you're saying. Well, why, God? I'm doing all I'm supposed to do. God says, hey, it's not about what you're doing. It's about what you are. Something in your spirit ain't right. You know what the problem in churches nowadays is? Something in the spirit of the people ain't right. Something in the spirit of the preachers ain't right. They're more concerned about, like Israel, their pocketbook and hind ends in pews than they are about delivering the message to God's people that God has so that those people can benefit and grow in the Lord and walk with Jesus Christ and get cleaned up and raise decent kids and serve God and build a work for God. The spirit's got to be right. In 1 Corinthians 11:17, he says this, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. You know what can happen in church? If we don't take heed to our spirit, we can actually come to church and leave worse than we came. You know how many people nowadays say, well, I used to go to church, but this happened and that happened. And there's all, they're all fighting about everything. And this committee was fighting with that committee. And they were all fighting with the pastor. And blah, 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 blah. I sat in so-and-so's seat. You know, visitor comes in and they sit down in your seat. And you walk up and act like it's the end of the world. You know, you're mature enough not to say anything to them, but you're just like, oh, no, what are we going to do? Because, there's a bunch of empty pews everywhere. It was icy last night. Just grab another one. But it's like, well, I didn't really say anything. Yeah, you did. Right. No. Well, no, I mean, I didn't. Yes, you did. Take heed to your spirit. You know how many times people come to church and they're damaged by it? They walk in here thinking, God, I need something. Let's go see if that's where God wants us. Let's go sit down, open our Bibles. Let's just see. We're praying about finding a church. And they can come into church and wind up getting hurt by it while they're seeking God if our spirit is not right with God. Take heed to your spirit. You know how many times couples leave church and actually the devil gets in there and robs anything the Holy Spirit was trying to do? Because when you leave church, you use the message against your spouse. Take heed to your spirit. Did you hear that? Whoa, stop. What are you doing? We try to tell young couples all the time, listen, don't use pastor against your husband. You are driving a wedge between me and him. I'm male too, man. If she said, well, did you hear what that preacher said? You should be like that. You should. I'd be like, oh, yeah? Hope you have a great time at church next week. I'll be home watching a UFC fight. Thinking of you, dear. Take heed to your spirit. You know, the blessing of God can leave if our spirit isn't right. We need to be careful about the way we treat our family. You know, we say this all the time, and I think it's good. More is caught than taught. Your kids are picking up on things about marriage, about life, about God, by watching the behavior toward mommy and daddy towards each other in the home. You know what he said over here in verse 15? He said, did he not make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. You know what that means? That's kind of that could be a little confusing. You know what he's saying? Didn't God say to Adam and Eve, you two shall be one flesh, right? Wait a second. First of all, the literal fulfillment of that is what? Anna, Sophia, Lillian, and Ava. That's mom and daddy is one flesh. But it's not just talking about that. You don't have to have kids to be one flesh because a spiritual thing happens there too where he says right there, yet has not he the residue of the spirit. Where does your life come from? Not talking about being born again. That's you're born again by the Spirit of God, of course. But where does your human life come from? Where does your dog's life come from? Where does the life in the grass and in the trees come from? God. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. So she has the life God given her in her. I have the life God's given me in me. And then we both wound up getting born again. So now we have spiritual life too, eternal life through Jesus Christ. He has put us together as one. And he says this about us. I hold the Spirit. I am God. I put you together. Therefore, verse 15, take heed to your spirit that let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. How do we deal treacherously? Boy, I could preach for 5 hours on this, and I'm not going to. I've seen a marriage seminar. But I could. Manipulation. Lying. Selfishness. I'll show you the number one example of it. Girls love watching those like weird shows like Dove and like these weird like lovey-dovey things, right? We don't watch those kind of shows. It hit me not long ago, like, man, whenever we watch something, we watch what I want. We never watch what she wants. Pray for me on that, because someday I'll grow enough to love my wife like myself, and we'll watch the lovey-dovey shows. They just put me right to sleep, man. I'm out. I'm just saying, in so many ways, even in little things that go right over our heads that we don't even realize, especially us gentlemen, go right over our heads, we're very selfish. We're very narcissistic. We're all about ourselves. And God says, watch out for your spirit, because I'm watching and I put you guys together to be companions. Is that what he said? We're coming up on 18 years. It hit me the other night, man. I was getting ready to fall asleep and I said, man, you blink and it's going to be 20 years. We're going to have 20 years. And listen, we've never tried to present it like we're the model of marriage and marriage seminars, right? Okay, please. We haven't, right? But man, it has been a good 20 years, 18 years. I got a great marriage. My wife is my best friend. She's my companion. She reads my mind. It's creepy. And you know what? I don't want to mess it up. So I got to take heed to my spirit. Because I'll be honest with you this morning, there are times my spirit gets so jacked up, and because I'm all jacked up and messed up and backslid and not walking with God like I should, my behavior towards other people, whether I realize it or not, just becomes treacherous. It becomes selfish. It becomes step on everybody's toes and be rude to everybody and not consider the way I'm talking or recognize the way I acted or how I responded or snarking and snapping and doing damage. And God says, you want my blessing? You better take heed to your spirit. Yes, in your personal family. Why? It's right there in the middle of the verse. And wherefore one that he might seek a godly seed. How many of you get on your kids when they fight with each other? All right, me and Gabe. Anybody else get on your kids? Okay, thank you. There you go. There's some honesty. I hate that. It drives me nuts, especially like first thing in the morning. You know, I come upstairs from reading my Bible, and I walk in the kitchen, and there they are, bah, 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 getting ready for school. You know, they're fighting over the last Cheez-It or something. And I'm like, hey, we're not starting a day like this, okay? They're all like, why? It drives me nuts. You know, sometimes I wonder where they learn to be so aggressive. Sometimes I wonder why they learn to be so selfish. That's their mama's side. You know what he's saying? God puts you guys together to seek godly children. And it's one thing, don't do as I do as I say, that don't work.
Right.
They'll catch more than you can teach them. Take heed to your spirit. Yes, in your personal family. Yes, in your church family. Look at verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? You know what he is saying right there? Hey, Israel, you guys are all treating each other wrong. You're all competing with each other. You're all lying to each other, stealing from each other, crooked business deals among you. Hey, why are you dealing treacherously? Oh, my children, God loves people you don't. When we come to church, you give it time. I promise you, just give it time. You sooner or later, and if God keeps blessing us and we keep growing, it's going to happen sooner. You're going to get your feathers ruffled. If you are tough enough to put up with me and my preaching, you're going to ruffle each other's feathers. There will be people that come through that door that you don't like, that snap at your kids, that snap at your wife, that don't shake your hand. They smell. They don't like. I don't like what they drive, the way they, every time they're there, oh my goodness, they just leave their pew, such a mess when they leave. It's my week to clean the church, and oh, they're always never cleaning up after themselves. Their kids always leave it up. Who spilled this down here? I guarantee you, you are going to have opportunities to get jacked out of the frame. Take heed to your spirit. Why? Because God's blessing leaves a church that isn't kind and loving and charitable and forgiving and accepting one of another. He's the judge, not you and I. We better learn to love each other. We better learn to love people. We better learn to realize that God's the one that created us. Have we not all one Father? And that, listen, God loves people you don't love, and He knows more about their faults than you know. It blows my mind. God showed me this about myself. It blows my mind that I'm really cool with God loving me. God loves me in spite of myself. Oh, praise the Lord. I know how unworthy I am and all my sin, and the Lord still loves me. And then I'll see somebody else's sin.
Yep. Come on. Hello.
Oh, God's going to get him. He better straighten it up, because the Lord ain't only going to put up with so much of that. I'm telling you, just give it some time, brother. You'll see their marriage is going to fall apart because they don't do it the way we do it. You realize your Heavenly Father knows all about their faults and loves them anyhow. And by the way, there's usually and almost always so much more to the story than you and I can judge by a quick look at the outside. It's scary to me, the responsibility I have with a Bible and a pulpit and people that will come and sit down and say, "Preacher, this is our church and we're here to make this thing happen. We're a part of this and we're trying to grow in the Lord and we're learning the Bible," and say, we're giving you an ear. Go ahead and preach to us. And that there's some things behind the scenes in people's lives that they've been through, burdens they carry, problems they have, that I may not even know anything about. And it is so easy for me to allow my spirit to get off in the way that I treat other people. And I'm afraid one day I'm going to answer to God. He's going to go, "Hey, you little idiot. I know the Lord doesn't talk to you like that, but that is how he talks to me. Hey, you numbskull. You were really hard on them. You were really quick to judge them. You were really quick to run them off. But what you didn't know is, let me show you what they'd been through. And I put them there so that you could help them. And instead, you were just too full of yourself and full of your ego and full of my blessings. And oh, you had it all together, man. You weren't a heroin addict. You had it all together. You didn't have all those issues. You had it all together. You didn't run up credit cards. Hey, I took care of you." But you were criticizing them and you did not know what was in their past and you hurt them. And I'm done. So you got it all together. Well, good for you. So God's blessed you. Well, good for you. So you got certain areas of your life that aren't a struggle. Well, yippee skippy. I'm happy for you. It's a great thing. I'm not saying it shouldn't be that way. I'm just saying before we begin to get complacent because we got it together and God's been good to us and begin to judge and critique other people, we need to step back just for a minute and say, wait a second, if I knew more about their circumstance, maybe then I could pass honest judgment, number one. Number two, if I'd been through what they've been through, I probably wouldn't be where I am today. So therefore, I really can't take any credit for anything that I am. Thank you for your blessing, Lord, and God help me keep my spirit right. So I don't do anything to get in the way of your blessings. It's hard to keep the spirit right. Hard to keep that flesh under control, that opinionated, selfish ego where it ought to be. We need to take heed to our spirit towards our family. Take heed to our spirit towards our church family. Take heed to our spirit towards our Heavenly Father, verses 6 through 8. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you're departed out of the way. You've caused many to stumble at the law. You realize God Almighty, verse 6, he walked with me. Your Heavenly Father wants a relationship with you. You don't have to be a preacher to walk with God. That's the biggest bunch of tomfoolery you ever heard in my stinking life. You know what preachers are? I'll tell you what they are. I'm going to expose all of them. Here's what they are. Sinful human beings. Well, you're the man of the cloth. I don't know what you're talking about. The only cloth I'm proud of is a gi. What are you talking about? You think that, you know, oh, you're called to preach, so therefore, you know, you don't have a normal life. Yes, I have a normal life. Yes, I'm a human being. Yes, I'm a sinner. And yes, I try to walk with my God because he's been so good to me, and you can walk with him too. You don't need a priest to get to God. You don't have to come confess. Don't confess your sins to me. If you need help, I'm glad to help you. But I tell everybody, now before we talk, and I'm good, Couple of things. Once it comes out of your mouth, you can't get it back. And although I can handle it, you may not be able to later. A year, 2 years, 3 years from now, you'd be looking at me like Pastor thinks I'm a... Because now he knows. Number one. I'll be willing to hear you out, whatever you need to talk about, and help you with it if you're comfortable with that. Just make sure you are. Number two. If you sit there and confess a crime, and then you try to pull clergy, laity, confidentiality, I am going to blow you up. No, not physically. I'm going to like, you're going to be like, what did he just do? Because I'll be like, hey, yes, officer, this guy's sitting here confessing that he's hurt children. Come get him. You're not dumping that on me and letting me walk around with that responsibility covering for you and your wickedness. So if you're coming in to confess crimes, I need help because I have an issue with something that's illegal. You got the wrong guy, bro. Now, outside of that, I'm here to help you. But I'm trying to tell you this morning before you even come to the pastor for help. You can go straight to God. And God Almighty wants to help you and wants to teach you and wants to show you and wants to walk with you. You know why I believe with all my heart we've had very few incidents in this church of real major problems and issues and splits? And you know why? Because people come here for one thing, and that thing is to get that book preached. And God deals with things from this pulpit on Sunday mornings when the Bible is opened and preached that I don't even know God's doing. And people get help and get instruction from God and get things cleaned up and straightened up and rightened up, and they get the help they need, and they're out that door, and they come back and they know it was them and their God. You don't come to me for the liaison to God. That liaison is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can go straight to him. God wants to walk with you. The reason you and I aren't that interested in walking with God is because of our spirit. I'm more interested in, you name it. I just don't have time. You have time. Check how much time you spend on all them devices. You'll find some time. You got time to pray. You got time to get in your Bible. You're not interested. Because you haven't realized that that relationship with God is real. It's personal. He is a heavenly Father. Listen, your earthly father might forsake you. He might never want you again. He might walk away and never come back. But God Almighty will never leave you or forsake you. He loves you this morning. And the only reason you don't have the relationship with him you should is because your spirit ain't right. His is. Watch your spirit. Watch your words. Look at verse 17. You've wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? You realize, folks, we wear God out by saying he's unfair. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken of much against thee? So much against thee. Literally, God says, what did you just say to me? And we're like that bratty little kid. We go, what? Come on, parents. Give me a witness. You go, excuse me? They go, what? What'd I say? And you both know what they said, but I didn't say it, right? That's what God's saying to Israel. And they're saying, well, what did we really say against you? He said, here's what you said. You said it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept his ordinance and that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God even are delivered. Are even delivered. You know what he said? You're speaking against me. Well, what do we say? They said some of the same things you and I say. I have said it. I just didn't realize how wicked it was. You know what I've said? Well, what's the point of you? I've told you before, I don't mean to worry you with the same story, but I remember going through a 2-year stretch of preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. I preached my guts out. Study, pray, beg God. And there seemed to be no results at all from my preaching. I remember I remember feeling my face burning with embarrassment and like the sweat. I mean, I already sweat like crazy, but sweating even more because I just wanted to crawl out of here. So, I don't even think that you guys, some of you were here, some of you weren't. I don't even think the church realized what was happening. I honestly think it was between me and God. I think the Lord was showing me something about me. And I remember saying and getting in the car and telling her, what's the point? This church ain't never going to grow anyways. What's the point? What's the point? Until one day she looked at me and she said, Mike, I don't think I can do this for 30 more years. I said, what? What are you talking about? What'd I say? She said, you, every single week, getting in the car and obsessing about your preaching and obsessing about the response. God's either in it or he ain't. And I got right with God on the way home. I had my altar call in the car. I didn't tell her. She's finding out later. But you know why? Because I realized my heart had been wrong. I'd been speaking against God instead of just being faithful to follow God regardless of the results. Let me say that again. Regardless of the results. I'm going to follow God because he's God and I'm not. And he loved me enough to send his son. And he's a good father. And yeah, he's blessed my life. I'm just going to follow him and love him even if I'm going through a really bad spell right now. Even if this bad spell's drug on for a couple of years. Even if all the chips are down. Hey, God's God and I owe him my life. And I'm not serving him for his blessings. I'm serving him for his person because of who he is. He said, Israel, you've been speaking against me. They said, what are you talking about? He said, you're saying I'm not just because you're looking around at all these wicked people living and partying it up and getting job promotions and going great and you're struggling right now. And you're critiquing me because of what you see in the world. We've been studying this in Job, folks. You and I, we got to get our brain on straight because you can say it's God, but it might be the devil. And you can say it's the devil, but it might be God. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can catch up on the Job series on Sermon Audio. But boy, it's a sneaky thing, man. You say, well, how do I know? What do I do? It doesn't matter. What matters is, are you doing what God wants you to do? That's all that matters. So if you're doing what God wants you to do and you're going through a bad spell and it's the devil, God's going to use it for your good. You just wait. If you're doing what you're supposed to do and God's blessing you, praise the Lord for it. He'll make you better. But the results don't matter. Those are in God's hands. It is so easy for us to look. It is so easy for us to see and to begin to think, hey, God isn't fair. This isn't right. But I remind you this morning, God is merciful. God is long-suffering. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Yes, God is even good sometimes to people that don't deserve it because he's trying to get them to realize how good he is. We sit back and go, well, that ain't fair. Until he's been good to you and you don't deserve it. Then it's fair. See that? See that? You need to watch what comes out of your mouth towards God. Because I'm telling you right now, folks, when we start saying God ain't just, God ain't fair, this ain't right, the blessing of God can leave and you don't know how close you are to a breakthrough in your circumstances. Right, I'm going to tell you right now. If experience has any consistency whatsoever, some of your friends and family members that are not here right now are going to be here later. I don't know when, 5, 10 years. I'm just saying by experience, we've seen that happen. Now, you get frustrated with God and quit and see if they ever come around. You see what I'm saying? It ain't about the results. It's about you and him. Watch your words. Look at verse 2. He says, if you will not hear, will not lay it to your heart to give glory unto my name. Let me ask you a question. You give glory to God? Do you give glory to God? Boy, we're all wanting to take glory for everything, aren't we?
I cleaned the church this week and pastor didn't even say thank you.
Okay, so were you here glorifying the Lord or were you here trying to get on the pastor's good side? Amen. Your life together? Is your life together? Somewhat? Sort of? All right, some people are getting close. Who did that for you?
Lord.
You glorify God for what he's done? God's been good to me, man. I mean, real good. I glorify God for the fact that I even am alive today. I didn't do that on my own. Why wasn't I born in the Middle East somewhere with a rag on my head?
Hello.
I had no option. I wasn't up there in heaven saying, God, how about, if you put me in the U.S., I'll serve you and be a pastor. God put me here. I could have been born to a Muslim family somewhere. I could have been born in Haiti somewhere in abject poverty. If you've never seen it, boy, I'm telling you what, it'll rip your guts out to see what people live in this world, and you wound up here. And you had nothing to do with it. Thank you, Lord. I glorify God for the wife he gave me. Why? He gave her to me. I'd have never met her if it wasn't for him. I met her at Bible college. I glorify God for the children he gave me. I love my kids. They ain't perfect, but they're mine. Amen? And I thank God for it. Thank God for my salvation. I thank God for this book. This book changed my life. This book got a hold of my heart. It burned my soul. It's woke me up in the middle of the night to get in there and find some answers. If it wasn't for the Bible, I'd be dead or in prison today. I'm not being dramatic. Thank God for that book. I thank God for you. I am not under any delusion whatsoever that this church is here because of Mike Reagan. I try to keep myself under control. I try to keep myself out of the way. God, search me and try me. God, make me a better pastor. God, don't let me mess it up. You're doing something over there. Help those people. God, make me a better preacher. God, keep working. Keep doing what you do. Thank God for this church. What you see here today is a result of God and his goodness. What the clothes on your back, the food in your belly. Hey, most of us got a problem getting our fridge door shut. Can I get a witness? You could survive a couple days off the food in the bottom of your pantry, especially if you got little kids, man. They make a mess everywhere. God's been good. Real good. Give him some glory. God's blessing will leave a church. God's blessing will leave an individual. God's blessing will leave a home. When people forget, it is God that has done whatever's good has done in your life. You can't even keep yourself alive. Drink all the green smoothies you want, run 100 miles a week, and when God's done with you and punches your card, you're up. Period. It's God that gives the spirit that keeps a man alive. Start strutting around with that arrogant, stinking strut. It's disgusting in God's eyes.
Well, you know, we're so much better than everybody else.
Puke, man. If you got it together, it's because of God. If you got a high IQ, it's because of God. If you got money, it's because of God. If you got a family, it's because of God. If you're getting help from this church, it's because of God. Give him the glory he deserves. Don't take it for yourself. Last thing and we're done. You want God's blessing in your life? Walk in truth. Verse 7, the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. You know why I say open your Bibles too and look at the verse and look at the verse and look at the verse? Because I'm trying to show you the truth of this book, and you're intelligent, and I give you the credit for that. Some of you a little more than others, I know. That's a joke. But I give you the credit for that. You can open up that book and go, yeah, there it is. Yeah, preacher has been studying. The priest's lips are supposed to keep knowledge. I'm supposed to be in this book and studying this book and knowing this book and keeping this book. And when people come to church, you ought to make sure I'm in the book. If I ever start correcting the Bible, ruthlessly, fire me. How's that? If I were to lose my mind and start going against God and against God's word, say, preacher, that ain't what this thing is about. We got to find us a guy that's going to give us the book. Because that's where God's blessing is. It's in that word. You know what you ought to be seeking this morning? Truth. You ought to have a heart for truth. You ought to have a desire to know what God said and why. And how does that apply to me? Because this is the mind of Almighty God on paper. If I didn't believe that again, I would resign today. Look over here at the end, if you would. Look at chapter 3, and we'll close here. Look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before them, before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You know what we're supposed to be doing here if we want God to continue blessing this place? You know what you guys should do in your home? If you want God's blessing on your home, parents, you know what you need to be doing with your children if you want God's blessing on your children? Speaking often one to another about him. I don't have my cell phone on me, but this will suffice. He ain't talking about speaking often one to another about each other. Do you see what they're doing? I don't care what they're doing. It's not my problem. I'm busy. I have a life. I don't need to spend my time in everybody else's. But you know what I do want to do? I love doing getting them text messages. Hey, preacher, this chapter in reference. Hey, when you got a chance, would you give me a call? I got a question for you. And talking Bible and talking about God and what God's doing in our life and what God has done and what God showed me. And what God, boy, it's a blessing, man, to get around people that love God, that fear God, that speak often one to another about God. Parents, one of the best things you can do with your children is create an environment where they're free to come to you with questions about God and the Bible. Rather than time for family devotions. Yeah. Everybody sit down. We're all going to read 18 chapters of the Bible. We're going to pray for 45 minutes. You're going to stand up like little soldiers and quote your verses. We call it family altar because we think we're going to force our kids into growing up to serve Jesus. And you can't do that. It's not possible. But instead, creating that environment where God is just a part of who you are and what you do and what you think and what you talk about and the music in your car and the discussions in that vehicle. Boy, you want to really help your kids? Get them, teach them to talk to you and to ask you questions. And then you can teach them what God's doing in their own mind and heart rather than some little textbook where we're trying to indoctrinate them all the time. Let God work on them. And make God a part of who you are and what you do and how you live and how you think. And boy, when he becomes our obsession, his blessing is part of it as natural as breathing air. I'm not talking about his riches financially. I'm not talking about everything going perfect. I'm talking about his presence and his blessing. And boy, when he's around, we are blessed. And when he says, I know what, you guys, your spirit ain't right, your words ain't right, you ain't walking in the truth anymore, you're not interested in the word of God anymore, you don't want to know what I think or say about anything, you're so obsessed with yourself and with your own life and with everybody else and everything that's happened to you, and you know what? I'm out. The blessing can be turned to a curse. And the issue? It's me. Because it ain't his will to curse his people. Let's stand to our feet this morning as